It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. For the past 2.5 years, Adams County in central Wisconsin didn't have any hospitals or clinics that offered a sexual assault nurse examiner, known as a SANE program.
That meant survivors of sexual assault would have to drive upwards of an hour to Stevens Point or farther to Oshkosh or Madison to get the care they needed after a traumatic experience.
Earlier this year, the nonprofit community health provider Health First started a new SANE program at its clinic in Friendship, with the hopes of bringing this critical service closer to home for survivors in the area.
Adams County was one of several counties in the state that didn't have nearby clinics offering these exams. That's according to the State Justice Department's database.
Jesse Scharfenberg is CEO of Health First. Jesse, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Why is it important for you to establish a program providing care for sexual assault survivors in your Adams County clinic?
There is a huge geographical gap in services. It's something we've been looking at for many years since we started our SANE program in Marshfield, Wisconsin, a few years ago. Where else are there gaps in services? And that is one of the crucial areas that we found to have a gap. And we work really closely with community partners in Adams County through the school district, local law enforcement, Health and Human Services, district attorney. And through so many conversations, it was just something that's needed and it made sense to do.
What happens when a community or a wide swath of an area doesn't have a registered nurse who has this special training to provide care for sexual assault victims?
There's really three things that could potentially happen. One, the individual just does not receive care. Two, they have to travel an hour or 2 hours to a health system that does provide the care, or we often see delayed reporting because at that point in time, they don't want to travel, but maybe a week later, a month later, 2 months later, whatever that time frame may be, they may seek care outside of the normal time frame in which someone would receive care for a sexual assault examination. So when there isn't care, there are so many barriers for individuals who've survived an assault that we've been really looking at how do we break down those barriers so that we can get individuals into care quickly and they can have the medical screening processes done that need to be. And if they are wanting to report, getting that over to law enforcement in a timely manner.
Right. What happens when there is delayed reporting and it's not within a normal time frame? Can you give us a scenario?
Yes. So with delayed reporting, one of the things that can happen is there's not the evidence to collect because it's been so long that the evidence could be washed away from taking a shower. It's just not on the body any longer. But more importantly, what we are seeing with delayed reporting is victim shaming. We hear a lot of, why didn't you come forward sooner? Why didn't you have an exam sooner? Why didn't this happen? Why didn't that happen? And it's really important that we have to acknowledge that survivors are on their own schedule and we need to support that schedule. And a way that we can support that schedule is having easy access to care. And there's no reason why an individual should be shamed or it should be looked poorly upon for them coming in a delayed manner, because that's what their schedule is and what they're comfortable with. We have to acknowledge that the trauma that they have been through has to be processed in a way that makes sense for that person.
What about the travel piece, transportation, the cost of travel? Could those be barriers to skipping this exam altogether?
Oh, absolutely. If you're thinking you're in Adams, Wisconsin, and you have been assaulted and trying to figure out what the closest place for an exam is, oftentimes is Madison for those individuals or Wausau. So if we think about barriers that happen for individuals, maybe they don't have a vehicle. So how are they going to get there? Maybe they're out of work and they can't afford gas money. Maybe they have children and they don't have daycare that's going to be needed for an all-day appointment. So really being able to break down those barriers for immediate access in their community. And also just thinking, you know, you live in a rural area, having to go to Madison can be really daunting, not just traveling and figuring that out, but you're in a really large health system and navigating that can be difficult for an individual. So being able to offer something local is extremely important. for individuals. And it also makes it easier for our partnering entities. Hope House of South Central Wisconsin, have to give them a shout out. We love them, but they offer victim service and victim advocacy services. So they are present at examination. So being able to do something local makes it easier for them to get to those exams to support individuals who have survived an assault as well.
What do you see the need is like, especially in Adams County? How big of an issue is sexual assault in rural Wisconsin communities?
Sexual assault is on the rise in rural Wisconsin. It's the facts of the matter. I think we see a lot of sexual assault and predatory behaviors that are happening as a result of social media and other things that make it easier for individuals to have access to others and start relationships and potentially end up assaulted. There is trafficking that happens in Wisconsin Dells, which is the northern part of Sauk County, but also the southern part of Adams County. So there's a lot of variables that go into play within that specific area. But just in Wisconsin in general, there's so many deserts for SANE services because geography is so spread out within rural Wisconsin. If we can bring local services for immediate access, it's extremely important. And it's been a gap that we've been able to fill.
Can you talk more about what comprehensive care looks like? What happens during one of these exams, or how do you preserve possible DNA evidence?
Yeah, absolutely. So an exam can vary greatly, but what we see is an exam on average can last 5 to 6 hours. Mm. So an individual is going to come in. We love having advocacy present. We'll call advocacy right away to make sure that they are there with the survivor. So that can take a little bit of time. There's a lot of talking that goes on during the examination of collecting the verbal evidence of like, what happened? Why are we here? Having the survivor explain what's going on there. There's picture taking that occurs to collect picture evidence, but then there's a full physical exam that happens as well to look at injuries, take pictures of injuries, collect evidence. So we have evidence collection kits that are from the state crime lab in which we can collect that evidence and then law enforcement picks up and gets it to where it needs to go for processing. So there's the evidence collection, but we also do a lot of labs for the individual, and we'll do medications as well to prevent STIs. So we're going to look at HIV prevention for the individual. We're going to be looking at chlamydia, gonorrhea, all of those things that could potentially have been contracted during the assault. We're going to look at how do we give them prophylactic medication to prevent it.
Why does this require specialized training that a registered nurse normally couldn't do?
Because of the in-depth evidence collection that happens, and it takes a very special person who is extremely detail-oriented to be able to go through the talking process, but the evidence collection process at the same time, being able to look at the human body and pick up on, oh, that's a scratch. We should take a picture of that scratch. We should also collect evidence. Maybe we need to be looking at under fingernails. It just takes a lot of time and effort and energy for a person to be able to do that. But there's also specialized training and around strangulation as well that happens with our SANE nurse examiners. So really that forensic side of things, not just a regular nurse can do, because it takes a lot of time, commitment, and effort and practice to really hone in on those skills of an individual who was assaulted comes in. What do we need to look for? And that's not something your regular emergency room nurse is trained in of. What should we be looking for forensically?
Jesse, what is your working relationship like with the State Crime Lab?
We have a great working relationship. They actually, a few months ago, were at our bi-monthly SANE meeting, talking to our staff and giving more education. So it's been a really great to have those relationships and making sure that we are working really well with all of our partners, not just the crime lab. Local law enforcement is extremely important to have relationships with the district attorney's office, because SANE nurses can be subpoenaed to come in and testify during court cases. Having those relationships with advocacy centers are just, it takes a team. It's not just one individual, one entity. It's quite the process with many team members that partake in the process with a forensic examination or SANE examination.
We're talking about sexual assault nurse exams in rural central Wisconsin. It goes by the acronym SANE exams. We have Health First CEO Jesse Scharfenberg with us. Jesse, what is the investment like for Health First to have this clinical offering? Is it as simple as just staffing a specially trained nurse at a location?
Yes and no. There's some complexities that go along with it because we need more than one SANE nurse because of call schedules. An individual can't be on call 24/7. So it's figuring out the staffing. There are some special equipment needs that are needed around a camera, an alternative light source, and also just making sure that the room is set up to acknowledge the trauma that an individual has been through. So lighting is a big factor. Coloring is a big factor. So it's taken a little bit of work to kind of figure out exactly how we want our examination rooms to look. What are we going to have there for resources? But I would say that's a very, very minimal investment compared to the investment we are making in individuals and survivors of sexual assault and giving them the opportunity to have their voice that has often been taken away from them. Also, state of Wisconsin has what's called the SAFE Fund. So from the fiscal standpoint, they actually reimburse the time for a provider to provide the SANE examination. So it covers, you don't make money off of it, and we would never want to make money off of it, but it covers the cost. So it's a pretty dollar in, dollar out model, but it's just amazing to be able to offer it in the communities that we do.
What does the workforce look like for this type of specialty care? Is it a challenge to staff nurses who have this specialized training in sexual assault care across 10 clinics?
Yeah, it is very difficult for staffing. It takes a very special nurse who wants to have the additional training. But then we talk a lot about vicarious trauma and the trauma that individuals who are SANE nurses are exposed to results in a lot of burnout. So we've worked very hard to set up ways and means of communication if they're getting to that point, and having debriefings and just being there to support our staff, because we know the burnout is so high. We do have to expect some turnover, but we've had a pretty consistent staff since we opened our location in Marshfield, but we're always open to recruiting more individuals, especially in the Adams area as well, to continue to support that so that one individual is not doing everything.
Other healthcare providers had previously provided sexual assault exams in Adams County, but ended them for financial reasons. Will this be more sustainable for you at Health First?
We have found a sustainable model that we started in Marshfield 2 years ago, and I feel that we can easily replicate that in other locations, and that's our goal. I mean, Adams is just one stopping point. We have many other locations that we're looking at replicating in the coming years to ensure that there's equitable access across our service area in Wisconsin.
Have you been receiving referrals? And if so, from where? What is that like?
Yes, absolutely. So we have multiple referral sources. So it might be law enforcement that's calling to notify us. We see it a lot through advocacies like Hope House or the Family Center up in Wood County area. And then also just self-referrals. So we have a phone number that individuals can call, and they might just self-refer that they need a SANE examination. So we will have whoever's on call go in and take care of that. We always work with advocacy, though, very closely. So if someone is going to self-refer, we're also going to call advocacy if that is something the individual wants. to be there and present to support an individual through an examination. Not all SANE exams are reported to law enforcement. That is ultimately up to the individual if they want to report or not. So we kind of work that case by case based on what an individual's needs and wants are.
What if the individual doesn't have health insurance when they come in for the exam?
That is no problem. We don't bill health insurance for the examinations anyways. So an individual needs services, we are going to see them regardless of a payer source.
Hmm. And how do you prioritize what kinds of reproductive health and mental health care to provide at your locations? What do you look at in order to figure out which services are important and viable where?
That's a great question, as we've just recently expanded into mental health about a year ago. It's all based on community feedback and community needs. So, for example, with our mental health clinic, that came from our practitioners seeing individuals within reproductive health who needed referrals to mental health, and there were 6-month wait lists.
Wow.
So it's like, wow, that is a huge wait list for individuals who have immediate needs. So does this make sense with our mission to take this on and expand that service? And it was. With our SANE services, we actually had recruited a nurse practitioner who was a SANE nurse and said, hey, there's no longer services in Marshfield. Does this make sense for us to do? And when we look back at our mission and who we are, yeah, it makes sense for us to do. So really looking at what the needs are, what the community wants are, and then also talking a lot with our community partners of gaining their thoughts and insight of, does this make sense? Is this duplicative of other services, or is it an actual gap?
Jesse, is there more you'd like to see the state or, you know, the federal government do to support sexual assault exam programs like yours in rural areas?
I would love if we had at least one SANE program per county. It would be amazing. It would increase access. It would increase reporting. It would increase prosecution. But there's just so many barriers for not having that. So there is financial costs. There's a bit of overhead for things to get going in a program. And then also making sure that you are preventing burnout and prepared for burnout and or turnover. So some grant funding that is there to help with implementation and those startup costs would be great, because once you're up and going, I feel that the programs can be pretty self-sufficient.
How can a program like this affect or increase the quality of life in a community?
Oh, hugely. If we have survivors receiving immediate access, we think of all of the healthcare concerns that can happen after a sexual assault. So getting immediate access to healthcare is extremely important. But then also, as we look at the other social determinants of health, if we can get an individual access to care through healthcare, and then we have the examination, maybe we get them access to mental health care. Maybe we can help get them the financial resources that they need to maybe break away from their abuser. There's just so many areas in which health equity and social determinants of health can be impacted by just offering a SANE exam. I think I could probably talk all day on that. Mm.
Jesse, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. I appreciate your guys' time and the invite to be part of the show.
Jesse Scharfenberg is CEO of Health First. That's a nonprofit community health provider in central Wisconsin. She was with us to discuss the importance of sexual assault exam services and the challenges that come with providing it in rural areas.